You know, think about a time when you needed to make a change. Perhaps it was something little, something as simple as your toothbrush, because all the bristles were all beat up, and it's been years and years since you changed it, and you thought to yourself, you know, this is disgusting. I need to replace this toothbrush. Or maybe it was something like a password for your email or some mobile device, or perhaps it was dwelling on the past, some very specific past event, and you told yourself, you know, it's time. It's time to change my thinking, and it's time to move on. Or maybe there's something in your life right now that you're going through or that you're involved with, and you know that it's time to change. You know, maybe you're in a relationship that's not spiritually compatible, and the Spirit of God has been working and trying to encourage you. Maybe you need to change your relationship status. Or maybe you've been living somewhat of a double life. You know, at home with your family and at church, you're one way. But then when you're in the workplace, you're like a totally different person. You're not the person that God has called you to be, and you know that. And that's been weighing on your heart, and today is the day for change, and God is going to help you. Perhaps you're doing something in secret, and your conscience is bothering you because you know it's not right, and you keep giving in to the temptation. You've gotten into this habit, and you want to change, but it's been very hard. Or perhaps inside, everything hurts. The stresses of life, all the things that you've been dealing with, the anxiety, and you want this to change. You know, it's been said, if life gets too hard to stand, then kneel. Man, there is power in prayer. And maybe some of you really need to pray from your heart, with every ounce of your being, cry out to God. You know, sometimes all it takes, as it's been said, one prayer to change everything. Now, today I want to talk with you about a person who did just that. His one prayer changed everything. He came to the realization that it was time to make a change, and that change first took place in his heart, and that's where true lasting change takes place, when it takes place within our hearts. He came to the realization who Jesus was, and then he turned to the Lord and he prayed. Let me tell you this, it's been said, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victor. And maybe today is that day for you where you're going to experience God's blessings as you pray and ask for his help, and deliverance is just moments away. Well, this man, he prayed. His prayer was simple. Nine words. Nine words. Sometimes the shortest prayers are the most powerful prayers because they come from the heart. Lord, help! That's a powerful prayer. Well, this man, he prayed. It was a little bit longer than those two words. But he said this, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Nine words. Everything changed. That was it. That was his prayer. But his prayer came from his heart. You know, God loves the heart. God loves us, but he loves the heart that is 100% whole. When that heart cries out to God, and there's no partiality, there's no heartedness, man, that does something to the heart of God. And he comes and he works. I know that because he's done it in my life. And let me see the hands of those of you who've cried out to God. And boom, when it was with your whole heart, he came and he answered those prayers. You know, God said this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How many of you like it when someone does something for you with half a heart? Well, neither does the Lord. But when someone with whole heart prays, God moves. Well, that was this man. But before this man had a change of heart, he was mocking God. Let me set up this setting for you. At this point, Jesus had been betrayed, arrested, and crucified. Jesus had hung on the cross a total of 6 hours on that day. And he did this for our sins. He was crucified between two robbers. The mocking we're going to read about may have taken place in the first couple few hours after these three men were crucified. I draw your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. You can go ahead and turn there. We'll be looking at verses 38 through 44. And in verse 38, Matthew tells us this: Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saves others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. But then something took place in the heart of one of the criminals. Luke tells us this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Verses 39 through 43, you can go ahead and turn there. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Verse 40 tells us, But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God? Seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I love our Lord. He is so forgiving. He is so merciful. At some time before this change of heart took place, this man was reviling Jesus. But then he had a change of heart. And he prayed. And immediately the Lord answered his prayer. And he said, Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. That man said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And the Lord turned to him and he said, Assuredly, you bet on it. This is going to happen. I mean, you are going to be with me today in paradise. I wonder what that did to the man who had a change of heart. Yes, he was there hanging on the cross, suffering, a suffering that none of us here have ever experienced. But I bet you in his suffering, to hear his prayer answered, that caused his heart to rejoice in such a way. And he knew that no matter what he was going through, his future was secure because he put his trust in God. I wonder how many of you are there at that point that you are ready to finally, with whatever it is, you're finally ready to put your trust in God. You are just seconds away from being freed. And you know, we sang this morning, I am set free. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to give life abundantly. Jesus came to set us free. There is power in our Savior. There was one woman who touched him once. She said, she had that faith, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. She touched him, and she was healed. She had an issue, and the Lord delivered her from her issue because she believed. But he said, I felt power leave me, so to speak. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in our Lord and Savior, and he came to set us free, and it blesses me when I think about how forgiving and merciful he is. But what caused this guy to have a change of heart? Something happened. Before he was reviling his buddy, we don't exactly know what was going on or his background. I can only suppose that perhaps from reading the scriptures and reading some other commentators and doing some word searches, perhaps he was an insurrectionist. I mean, the Bible tells us very clearly, robber, he was a criminal, he was a thief. But perhaps he was an insurrectionist because, let's face it, you got to do something pretty serious to end up on the cross. And when I say on the cross, let's understand that the cross, that was capital punishment at that time. You know, we wear now crosses on a necklace. We have crosses tattooed on our arms. I say we, but I don't have any of that. And I'm not putting anyone who does down. Maybe you have a cross. We see it. And we wear it as fashion. For some of us, it has more meaning than that. But at that time, this was a form of capital punishment. It would be like in our time wearing an electric chair around your necklace. Very few people, in comparison of how many criminals there are out there, ever end up getting capital punishment as a crime. So this guy must have been some trouble. Probably hated being under the Roman government. And there was a lot of insurrectionists at that time. We don't know what his past was, but I would imagine that maybe at some of these gatherings of Jesus, maybe he's gotten exposed to the teachings of Jesus as an insurrectionist. Maybe he came to check Jesus out and say, who's this new guy? These revolutionary teachings. What's this guy all about? And maybe heard. Because here is a man who is on the cross and he is dying. There is no, it's the end. And yet something happened in his heart. There was a change in his heart. And he knew he had some knowledge about the Lord. And maybe at one of the gatherings, checking Jesus out, he heard the message of the gospel and the kingdom. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And Jesus would come and he would preach the gospel message. And as he would preach the gospel message, many people were coming, listening. And he wasn't ready at that time. But he heard about the message. And Jesus, he would call, what I love about the Lord is he would call sinners. He was calling all sinners to be a part of the kingdom. The king was personally inviting sinners to repentance and to be a part of the kingdom. He must have heard that message because at one point he said, Lord. When he said Lord, there was a change of heart. That Lord, no doubt, was he had submitted his heart to the Lord. He believed that Jesus was Lord. He came to believe the message, and he knew enough, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. They were all dying. They were all dying. So he had enough faith to believe that there was more to life than just this temporal life. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom, when that time comes. That must have meant he believed in the resurrection and the things maybe he grew up learning. And maybe there's some of you, you haven't come to that point where Jesus is Lord of your life, but you've heard, you grew up hearing, you were exposed to the truth. And today is the day where you're ready to make that commitment to Christ. This man, he made that commitment. He had a little bit of information, but he put faith in it. And he knew enough. And even though we don't hear him say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You know, the Lord looks at the heart. And that man, when he prayed, the Lord knew his heart. He was sorry. He was sorry. And he said, Lord, remember me. You know, what caused this guy to have a change of heart? Let's think about this. Jesus had been treated so horribly, and this man witnessed how the people mocked Jesus and even participated in the mocking himself. The man knew that he deserved what he and the other criminal were being punished for, but he came to realize that Jesus didn't deserve to be crucified because Jesus didn't do anything wrong. So, perhaps, what caused the man to have a change of heart was realizing how forgiving and how merciful Jesus is. Because just a few verses earlier in Luke's gospel, as Jesus was being mocked and ridiculed, and he was treated horribly, in verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And this man, he heard these words. He heard these words, and his heart was changed. And he turned to the Lord and prayed. You know, let's talk about you. We'll reference this man, but let's keep ourselves in mind. Obviously, your circumstances, whatever you're going through, are very different from this man. But for some of you, like this man, you do realize that it's time to make a change. Maybe you look back at your life, and you've been doing things your own way. And oftentimes, the Lord says, I come to the door, and I knock. And maybe the Lord's been knocking several times in your past, and you wouldn't open the door of your heart to him. I was like that for many years. But you've come to that point now where you're tired. You've been doing it on your own, and now you realize, Lord, I need your help. You know, the man, he had a bad past. He had made several bad choices, but he turned to the one who blessed him with a good future. And even when on the outside it may have looked like it was over to others for this guy, it wasn't. And maybe some have said, you'll never change, you'll always be the same. Maybe others have given up on you. Maybe others thought, you know, it's over for that person. The Lord doesn't think that for you. You know, it wasn't too late for him to change, and it's not too late for you. And today, for some of you, it's that time. For some of you, it may be you need to change your thoughts towards God, your attitude towards God, your heart towards God, and you need to make a commitment to Christ. Maybe for others, there's something in your home life that you need to change. There's things that are going on in the home and you know they're not right, the way you're managing things, and you need to change. Maybe for others, it's an attitude. You've developed an attitude towards a spouse or towards somebody in the workplace or maybe even here at church. And that attitude needs to change. Maybe for some, it's you're neglecting spiritual disciplines. There was a time when you were excited about reading the Bible and seeking the Lord. First thing in the morning, you'd wake up and you'd pray and you'd spend time seeking the Lord. But now over time, you've neglected that and it's affecting you. And it's time to make that change. Maybe for some of you, everything needs to change. Everything. When I was 18 years old, I was at that point. Everything needed to change. And I cried out to the Lord. And I'll tell you, Jesus changes everything. And maybe that's where you are this morning. We're going to be partaking of the elements in just a few minutes. And as we do, we're reminded that for true change to take place, for us to be transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, for us to have the ability and the power to be able to change, real change, eternal change, change that pleases God, Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins. You can go ahead and begin to pass out the elements. Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins, and we are reminded that his body that was broken and his blood that was shed and given for us so that we can have victory over those things that weigh us down and change, lasting change, by the power of the Holy Spirit will take place for you if you believe and trust the Lord. I asked Ben and Hannah to come. They're going to share a song. The elements are going to be passed out. And as they're sharing the song, you just start to think about, and I know already, in your heart, there's already that thing. It might be one thing. It might be many things. But then I'm going to pray for you, and you think about responding to the Lord. The Lord is going to give you an opportunity to respond to him. This is the day to change. And I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. So they're going to pass out the element, and they're going to share this song, and then we'll pray. I'll pray for you. You know, one simple prayer can change everything. So I want to take a minute and pray together. So let's all bow our heads and our hearts, and as you feel the cracker and the communion cup in your hands, you be reminded of the fact that Jesus gave his life for us, and when he did this... And he said, remember me every time you partake. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, we are here in your presence because you said that you walk in the midst of your church. And Lord, even though we can't see you with our eyes, Lord, we do believe that you are here among us. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your life on the cross for our sins. We're reminded of what you did and that you're also here to heal, to strengthen, and to change lives, to set people free. And Lord, I pray for those that are here that they heard this message and it was them, it was for them. I pray that you give them the strength and that they would trust you. You know, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need change, then I want you to do this one thing. It's important for you to respond to the Lord, because faith is action. You know, faith is not just a belief, but it's a belief that moves you to action, to act. And this is a small way in which you can act on that faith, believing that Jesus Christ is here to help you. And if you're looking for change, I'm asking you right now to stand up right on your feet. Stand up. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. You stand right up. You stand right up. And God knows specifically what it is, so you go ahead and stand up. I see so many of you standing. You go ahead and stand up. Do not be afraid. God has been working in your life, and you've been seeking the Lord, and He knows your heart, even like that man on the cross. That man was sorry, and he knew his heart. Jesus saw his sorrow. Jesus didn't say, yeah, but. Jesus said, assuredly, this is a guarantee you will be with me in paradise. Jesus always wants to help. Now, before we partake of the elements together, you can stay standing. Those of you, if there's anyone else, stand. You go ahead and stand. Now, listen. Some of you, it might be a first-time commitment. For others, it may be a very different thing. But nevertheless, you're asking God to help you to change. So it's important for us to pray together. See, one prayer can change everything. So I'm going to ask you to pray and pray out loud. I'll lead you in a prayer and you join me, but pray out loud to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, you see my heart. You see what I'm going through. And I thank you that you sent your Son to help me. Jesus, help me. Forgive me. Strengthen me. Give me your Holy Spirit, or go ahead, give me your Holy Spirit and help me to do what's pleasing in your sight. I give myself completely to you. Change me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. If any of you made a commitment to Christ, a first-time commitment, it's really important that you do these next three things. Number one, develop a prayer life. So important. Every morning, in the afternoon, before you go to bed, make sure that you pray. Just ask the Lord, God, work in my life, change me. I committed myself to you, and I pray that you continue to use me. Teach me your ways. Number two, read his word. That's how you're going to learn his ways. Read his word. Number three, stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. So important for you to grow spiritually. And so praying, reading his word, and staying in fellowship are keys to help you do just that. And also come see me after service. I have a gift I'd like to give to you, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit more and pray with you specifically one-on-one. So if you gave yourself to Christ this day for the first time, see me after service. And for the rest of you, I pray that the Lord continue to just grant you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in him. He's with you and he's going to help you. Trust him. And what you did right now, I believe, has the power for you to continue to walk in change. When there's a change of heart, God by his Spirit enables us to do the right thing. So you continue to walk by faith. And you've been set free. Walk from victory. That's where you're walking from. You're walking from victory. Continue walking in that victory. And again, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and we partake in remembrance of you. We thank you for your mercy and grace and for how forgiving and kind you are. Let us partake.